Mother of Invention, take two. Dear, you should never preach what you practice. You should strive for a more enlightened, better, brighter you. That said, you probably are a better, brighter me already. You're younger for sure, more symmetrical, perhaps. These days, people have themselves surgically altered to look more like you and less like me. When people do it in other parts of the world, we like to call it genital mutilation. But when it happens here, we call it the Barbie. Now, I cannot tell you what to do, but remember this. Symmetry is valuable, but pleasure is valuable too. We're learning to live with somebody's depression. And I don't want to live with somebody's depression. But we'll get by, I suppose. It's a very modern world, but nobody's perfect. It's a moving world. I'm wearing purple underpants these days, as if I can only connect to the cosmos through my root chakra, like a giant kundalini cobra up my butt, like Chicholina last time I saw her. It was after the breakup with Jeff Koons, and she was looking good. A little flustered, her cheeks a little hot, her gaze intransigent. Like she was looking at her audience of one, and saying, "Sup, Jeff, how are you doing?" "I'm good, you know. I'll get by, as you know, 'cause it's a moving world, and I've got a giant snake up my butt, and you don't." Jeff, I imagine, had his head too far up his own butt to take notice. And so it is in general, I fear, with the art world and cosmology. It gets too weird, too deep, too uncomfortable, too soon. And so, the art world could not really fathom Chicholina, although it embraced her for a while. Chicholina, or should I say, the iconography of Chicholina, for I have never met her in the flesh, has a cosmology of its own, with a floral wreath in her peroxide blonde hair. She is an orgy of one, without even doing anything. A pagan poetry. With a cobra snake up her butt, she is the mother of invention. Although she is entirely made of plastic, or perhaps exactly therefore, she is entirely of and connected to this world. She's for real. Like the giant plastic vortex in the Pacific Ocean is for real, and has a life and a power of its own. To illustrate this power, consider for a moment Robert Sullivan's travelogue of the garbage hills of New Jersey. One afternoon, I walked along the edge of a garbage hill, a 40-foot drumming of compacted trash that owed its topography to the waste of the city of Newark. There had been rain the night before, so it wasn't long before I found a little leached seep, a black ooze trickling down the slope of the hill, an espresso of refuse. In a few hours, the stream would find its way into the groundwater of the meadowlands. It would mingle with toxic streams. But in this moment, here at its birth, this little sieve was pure pollution, a pristine stew of oil and grease, of cyanide and arsenic, of cadmium, chromium, copper, lead, nickel, silver, mercury, and zinc. I touched this fluid. My fingertip was a bluish caramel color, and it was warm and fresh. A few yards away, where the stream collected into a benzene-scented pool, a mallard swam, alone. I found this quote in Jane Bennett's book, Vibrant Matter, and I'm citing it here because the simple summary of the components of the trash, the active ingredients, so to speak, and the way that the description piles up and becomes layered in a similar way to the landfills it is describing, has a poetic potency of its own and highlights the heart of the matter and highlights the difference between archiving and composting that is at the heart of the matter. Where the archive is passive, the compost is active and moves in mysterious ways with an agency beyond our control. As Jane Bennett explains, in relation to her own encounter with a pile of debris in a storm drain on a June morning in Baltimore, Sullivan set her thinking about our relations to the inert matter that surrounds us and of the powers that be within us and without us. Sullivan reminds us that a vital materiality can never really be thrown away, for it continues its activities even as discarded or unwanted commodity. For Sullivan that day, as for me on that June morning, thing power rose from a pile of trash. Not flower power, or black power, or girl power, but thing power. The curious ability of inanimate things to animate, to produce effects dramatic and subtle. This may all sound like sci-fi to you, but this is the sci-fi we live in now, and not only do we live within it, it lives within us. The plastic vortex is not only out there in the Pacific Ocean, it swims within us. Not only in the literal sense, that the plastic is grinded down to a minuscule plastic plankton that enters the food chain again when it gets eaten by the small fish, that in turn get eaten by the big fish, that in turn get eaten by the giant yellowfin tuna, that in turn get eaten by a maki roll that gets eaten by us until we're plasticized from the inside. That too, but in every sense, our language, our literature, our poetry, our songwriting is pervaded by this ever-present vibrant plasticity, as is this letter. A way of navigating the plastic sea could be the strategy suggested by Kimbra Fehler in an interview with the New York Times. I'm an availabist, so I like just wandering about different neighborhoods, looking around at how people are living, sort of like a minimalist extreme vacation. I like anti-naturalism, finding beauty in odd urban decay, so there's plenty of that if that's your hobby. When asked what she's working on right now, Fehler replies, "What's been at the forefront of my thoughts is future feminism. I look around and wonder what I'm doing, what we're doing as artists in the year 2012. I ask myself, am I a feminist? And am I a woman of independence and high esteem? Am I getting sucked into the system of despair that tries to brainwash women into thinking they are this or that? I want to perpetuate a positive paradigm of visibility for women, despite what feels like backsliding and a sort of crass alternative greed. The greed that makes us isolate and think about art careers instead of art." The future feminism she refers to is a movement that she instigated together with Anthony Hegarty, who describes it like this. "It's not a group that thinks women should just crawl towards economic equality in the way we've been engaged in since the 60s, Hegarty says. That can't be the climax of feminism. It's like gay rights, as if gay marriage is the end point, as if we just want to be included in these business as usual institutions. That's not the point of being queer, just as mitigated reproductive rights aren't the point of being a woman. We want to move this forward, do something great, overturn all these failed male structures of thinking, all this aggression in decision making." There is a lot of self-empowerment in these simple statements, I think, a lot of girl power to take to the thing power, a way of surfing the plastic wave instead of being sucked into the plastic maelstrom. And there's a lot of enlightenment to be found in the tip, like a giant cobra up the butt of consumer society. Now, as your mother, I can absolutely not tell you to go and get a cobra up your butt, and you're way too young to read this letter anyway. But if and when you read it, I want to say this to you. First of all, I'm sorry. I'm sorry to be handing down the world to you in such a sordid state. I don't like thinking about the giant plastic vortex any more than you do, and yet I keep feeding it, because it's insatiable. Styrofoam cups, toy guns, office chairs, valentines, heated blankets. They're inanimate objects, but they're also compassionate objects, and they're passionate. If you tune in, you can hear them humming like that old Kiss song. "I was made for loving you, baby. You were made for loving me. And I can't get enough of you, baby. Can you get enough of me?" So as you can hear, we not only love the world, we are loved by it. We not only live in the world, we are lived by it. We not only move in the world, we are moved by it. I hope that you can find your own way and your own beauty in it, as I do, because it's awesome, literally. And if you have to become plastic to find your place in this plastic world, go. Don't go for the Barbie. Go for the Cicciolina. You go, girl. Love, Mum.